The game. Once in a while, you hit the ball just right, and it's magic, and you go, oh, I want to do that again.
Both golf and tennis are hoping more African Americans and other people of color will discover that magic for themselves to keep these sports alive, thriving, and profitable for a long time to come. Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity. You'll make that the midday. It's already 9:50. My goodness, where the day has gone. The midday market report. Hard red winter wheat trading at 5:54, down 3 3/4. The September is 5:64, down 3 3/4. Soft July wheat is trading 5:17.5, down 4.5. September, 5:24 3/4, down 4 3/4. July corn is 3:62 1/4, down 2 3/4. September, 3:68.5, down 3. December is 3:79 1/4, down 3. July soybeans, 9:35 1/4, now a half, now a quarter, down 3 1/4. September, 9:18.5, down 1 3/4. And November at 9:16 3/4 is down 1 3/4. July soybean meal is 306.80, up 270. July soybean oil, 31.67, down 58 cents. June live cattle, 152.22.5, now 27.5, down a dime. August feeders are 217.72.5. They are unchanged. And June lean hogs are 83.87.5. They're up 10. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
I suspect that when we talk to you again this afternoon, we're not going to see a whole lot of change in the big futures board. Probably not a lot of people in Chicago today, I would imagine.
Not unless the dollar is really rallying on the CPI number.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when the trade put out, the newswires put out their blurbs after the CPI number came out that the dollar reversed course and was making a one-month high against the euro currency because of a CPI number, I started digging and digging and digging. And yeah, it looks like that the core CPI was up 0.3%. That's one of the biggest gains, if not the biggest gain, since January of 13. And the 12-month running CPI is now at plus 1.8%. So I could see the argument for the idea that the Federal Reserve would be more back online with wanting to do something as far as an interest rate hike before the end of this calendar year. I don't think anybody's really, you know, not looking at that, or very few people are not looking at that. But if that's what's got the dollar breaking above 96 in the June index, I wonder if that's not going to be seeing some profit-taking before the long weekend. So that's probably the only caveat I would put on this holiday trade. But you're right, it's probably going to get thinner and thinner and thinner as the day goes forward.
Yeah, I think that how that dollar finishes today, we got to see if we get a reversal up or not, and whether or not that then carries over to next Tuesday. Meanwhile, we have to hook the dollar a little bit to the wheat market, and the wheat market is right there for some big gains, but we're just not quite being able to push it over the resistance level.
Yeah, I mean, in a contextual manner of what's going on in the Southern Plains right now, I have to say that the wheat has not been as good this week as I wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. Because one, the NOAA maps for the last 30 days show that the southern Oklahoma, northern Texas border, almost the whole two states border between each other, have had about 5 to 8 inches above normal precip in the last 30 days.
Yes.
And if these two weather models for the next 6 days are correct, they're going to have another 5 to 8 inches of above normal precip as well. And there is even talk out there, I've heard in the rumor mill, that the Red River is going to get to be several miles, if not double-digit miles wide, by the time this whole thing ends. And so I'm sitting here in the context of, you know, since 1995, being in commodities, remembering the 93 flood, never remembering in this last 20-plus years of a Southern Plains flood potential like we're seeing right now, and the wheat not being able to take out its last month high in soft red of 544 and a quarter. I just can't seem to get over that mentally, that we should be well above that last month's high given the potential damage that the wheat and the cotton are going to face with these kind of floodwaters if they manifest themselves.
So the weather premium may not be in there, and then you add on top of that that wheat is actually cooking out in Canada's prairies.
Yeah, I mean, this is the tale of two cities. The fellow that I work with out near Hays, Kansas, emailed me yesterday, and he's got a whopping 0.3 inch of rain heading into 90-degree temperatures next week, and that eastern Colorado, western Nebraska, western Kansas lot, so to speak, has just been completely missed for the most part as they get ready to really warm up. So, yeah, I mean, for the year-to-date wheat price to be down 12% now in soft wheat, and then to see that the dollar has rebounded over 3% this week and that it's still up pretty nicely on the year, I guess that's the only thing that rationally I could make that would justify the reason why we, as you say, don't have that weather premium in the wheat right now. And I think that directly lends negativity to the corn, mm-hmm. because the corn is now being pulled down by the beans, because the bean supplies continue to be pushed up in Argentina and Brazil, even at this late stage of the game, by some of the big private and government forecasters.
Yeah, that bean number continues to get bigger. CONABS is in the rearview mirror now.
Exactly. I mean, we had the agro-consult numbers come out earlier this week. They're well above the USDA, coming in with, I think it was a little over 96 million tons, and USDA's at 94.5. We also had Argentina's government come out, raise the production by a million tons to 60 million. That compares to USDA's fresh number of 58.5. So in the midst of all that, we had a pretty negative soy meal weekly export sale number for new crop, and between that and the avian flu starting to push back some supplies into the domestic market, I really think corn needs wheat right now, because I can kind of see a link, since the corn has gained in premium to the soybeans, that if the beans go lower now, the corn, unfortunately, is going to follow it, I think, if it isn't with the wheat leading it. So any re-ownership that I've done this week in the corn for clients on 14 re-ownership with calls, I will not live with those if we take that 372 and a quarter level out. In fact, I'll probably ramp up and sell even more corn with the idea that the dollar has stopped the wheat and the beans are going to take the corn down another leg.
If we come back next Tuesday and traders look at the wheat situation again and have a different change of heart about the fundamentals we're talking about and begin to rally wheat, and we get wheat up to 542-ish, you know, the double top that we saw late March, early April.
Right.
Does corn come along for the ride, and could we see another quarter in corn?
Yeah, I think it does, Dave. And I think this goes back to the algorithmic and the computer-traded models, that they will finally find something to flip the switch to allow them to cover more shorts that are related to more the supply-demand fundamentals. But I may extend that out to, like, Tuesday night's trade so that we can get the crop progress numbers and see exactly what the people in Oklahoma and Texas at the extension offices are saying, what the crop insurance people are saying at that stage as far as potential claims, and, you know, give it a little bit more time than just Tuesday morning, just from a standpoint of maybe better information coming to make a better decision.
Well, let's go talk a little bit more about the soybean before we let you go, because I've been looking at a continuation chart, lead month option. And I can read 850 very easily.
Well, I think that is a susceptibility in the bean market if you take that 302 out in the weekly lead month meal price. And that's the number, I think, to really watch. If you're talking sub $9 November beans, I think you first have to put into play the meal is leading it lower at that stage, because the meal really answers the question that's very hard to answer right now, whether China is ramping up on their demand at these lower prices, or whether China is still in the hole with demand because they're still letting go of their pig production because of a slower economy.
Anything else before we let you go?
We've got a cattle auction report coming out here in a minute.
And it comes out at noon.
That's going to probably play a little bit more of a role in the livestock, and we'll have to see whether that helps the feed side or not.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. and he is in Atchison, Kansas. Let's see how the trade is currently looking at the marketplace, with July corn at 361.5, down 3.5. September's 368, down 3.5. December, 378.75, down 3.5. Go out to July of 16, 403.5, down 2.5. July soybeans are 934.5, down 4. September, 917, down 3.25. November, 915.75, down 2.75. July soybean meal, 306.40, up 230. July soybean oil, 31.66, down 59. July hard red winter wheat is 553.5, down 4. Soft July is 516.75, now 17 even, down 5. And July lean hogs are 83.92.5, and they are up 7.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It is now 10 o'clock Central Time.